Last week, Jake kicked off the little mini-series that we're doing that we've titled A 3C Disciple. As he talked about what it looks like and what it means to celebrate. If you weren't here or you haven't checked out the message online, I would encourage you. It is must-see teaching. As Jake looked at the story of the 10 lepers and the reality that 10 people had their lives kind of handed back to them, and yet only one returned to the feet of Jesus to celebrate who he was. The fact that he was the healer and the fact that he was God. And so I'd encourage you, make sure you get out, go online and check that out. That first C of celebrate. Because this week we're going to talk the second C, which is connect. And next week the third C, which is contribute. But connect and contribute must flow out of celebrate. If we try to do connect and contribute apart from celebration of who God is and what he has done, we will miss the point. And we won't do it in the way that we believe Scripture lays out. And so be sure you check out that message. Understand what we're meaning when we talk about celebration of who God is and what he has done. But today we're going to talk about the second C, connect. And I've got a request of you before we get going. There are many of you who would say, hey, I think I already get this. I'm in a connection group. I have friends and fellow believers that I have connection with and community with, and I'm in discipleship relationships. So you might be tempted to kind of check out for this week, pull out your phone and kind of see what's going on Facebook or what's happening in our world. My ask of you, my encouragement of you, stay tuned in. Stay locked in with us today because I believe that we need to reshape our view of connect. I think maybe we're missing it in some ways, and I want us to try to do that. Over half of the adults that attend Veritas Church are in a connection group, a small group that's kind of our primary driver of community and discipleship. But listen, I believe that far fewer of us actually live out connect, community, discipleship. I believe far fewer of that number actually live it the way the Bible instructs us to. And the example that Jesus has set for us in how we should connect with other believers. And so my hope for today is that we would reshape our view of connect and that we would be a people that are excited for and embrace and really chase after a true biblical view of discipleship and community. And then my hope for the other half of you that are not in connection groups, that you would realize you're missing something and you would leave here with a desire to get involved in community. But before we do that, before we kind of try to reshape our view on connection, I think it's important for us to recognize there's a problem. Okay, there's a problem that needs to be reshaped. And here's what I think the problem is. Listen close. I believe the problem is me. I believe the problem is me. My wife almost shouted out amen to that in the first service. She's been waiting for me to say that for a long time. I believe the problem for me is me, and the problem for you is you. Because I believe that we generally approach community and discipleship and relationships focused on ourselves and not others. The word for that is self-centeredness. We generally, naturally are self-centered people. I believe the problem for me is me and the problem for you is you. I want to be friends with people that make me have fun and have a good time. I want a community that meets all of my needs. I want a small group that is all concerned about me and my struggles and my frustrations. I want a discipleship relationship for my faith and for my family. We think about me and me only often. Let me ask this. When was the last time that you entered into a community setting? Maybe it's a small group. Maybe it's just a group of friends that are believers getting together. When's the last time you entered one of those settings thinking, how can I encourage somebody else today? How can I press somebody else on to being a follower of Jesus? How can I help others? And not in an unhealthy way, like these people are so messed up, they need me to help them. But in a really healthy way, how can I spur somebody on to follow Jesus more closely? When was the last time you asked yourself that question? Or maybe better put, have you ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever left a gathering of people frustrated that nobody asked you how you were doing? Have you ever left a small group just really disappointed because that person with their crisis talked on and on and on about it, and you never had a chance to talk about your crisis? Right? Have you ever been frustrated with a group of people because 2 months ago you asked them to pray for your cat who was sick and nobody has followed up to see if Fluffy made it or not? Like, have you ever done that? Those feelings and those emotions reveal there's a problem. And the problem for me is me, and the problem for you is you. We're self-centered people. Welcome to church. We're glad you're here. Right there with you. When we talk about connect, it is because we believe, and we believe the Bible teaches, that we as followers of Jesus, we need intentional relationships that are about discipleship, that are going to grow us in our faith, that are going to help us grow in our desire to love and serve Jesus. And we believe, each one of us, me and you and all of us, we need intentional discipleship relationships. But what we've got to realize, even in those relationships, it's not about us, right? Because our intentional discipleship relationships, are they good for you? They are, right? They're really good for you. But are intentional discipleship relationships all about you? They're not. They're not. We've got a big idea today that hopefully you'll be able to take with you to help you kind of be anchored on this truth and remember this as you enter into these connect type relationships. Here it is. 3C disciples are about we, not me. We're about we, not me. 3C disciples, the kind of disciples who celebrate, connect, and contribute, are people who think about others and not just themselves. And that's the kind of people we want to be here at Veritas. And so we're going to look and see how this is seen in the instruction that's given in Scripture. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 today. If you are new to your Bible, go to the very end, start going left, and you'll find it. If you don't have a Bible, we have a bunch of them at Info Central. We'd love to just give one to you. But the verses will be on the screen as well. So Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he has opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, listen to all those clauses. Right, the writer of Hebrews, he's going to get to some instruction pretty soon. He's going to give us some actions and some things to do. But look at the clauses that he includes. Since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary, since we have a great high priest, he's reminding us we've got to stay rooted in the truth of who God is and what he has done through Jesus on the cross. We have to start there. And then we can go to the instruction. And here's the instruction. He's got 3 things for us. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. He says, because of what you've been given, because of who you are in Christ, do these things. Think this way. Take on these actions and these attitudes. And I think it's really interesting. He gives us kind of 3 directives in this text. And by including, I think, all 3 in this one text together, I think he is placing like a similar value on them. Is it because of all that has been done for you, do these 3 things. Look at what he tells us to do. The first one is this. Let us draw near in full assurance of faith. He's saying, be confident in your salvation. That's a big deal, isn't it? For us as believers, to be confident in what Christ has done to save us. The second one, he says, hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. Like, rest in your place as an adopted son or daughter of the king. Like that's a big deal that we should rest in and take joy in and love that reality. And then this third one, be concerned about one another to promote love and good works. Is that as big a deal as the other two? Like, doesn't that feel just a little bit different than the other two? I mean, these first two are such core values of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to rest in our assurance of our faith in him, and to not waver in our identity and position before God. And then, oh, in addition to that, like promote others to love and good works. Doesn't that feel a little bit out of place? I think it did as I was reading through it. And what I came to understand or realize, I think that feels out of place because my perspective is out of place. And my thought process is out of place because of that problem of me. Because I don't know about you, when I think about serving others or loving others or working for others or encouraging others or pressing on others towards love and an understanding of Jesus, that feels like that's a really good thing that I should do sometimes. It almost sometimes feels like bonus points or extra credit, but I don't put it in the same weight as I do of resting in the assurance of my faith in Christ. Let me ask you, when is the last time that you would say you put just as much weight in pressing somebody in their relationship with Jesus as you did thinking about your own salvation? Or when maybe somebody that's close to you has struggled in how they love others like Christ wants them to love others, have you given the same amount of attention to that as the times when you've really wavered in your faith? Because I believe we think about me far more often than we think about others. And we think about our faith and our salvation, but when we get this instruction to, hey, push others towards the gospel, press on others towards love and good works, we can often view that maybe as a good option, but not the instruction, not the demand and the command that God puts on us. I think about me rather than we. And look at the pronouns. The pronouns teach us something in this. Look at these. We, us, our, us, our, us. It gets into a little pattern, right? You don't see me. You don't see I. You see we and us, right? Because we naturally, automatically think about me. We very naturally think about myself. But the writer of Hebrews is pressing on us. He says, quit thinking about you. Think about the we. Think about others. Get your eyes up and consider, how might you press others on to love Jesus and to do the good works that he has put in front of them for the good of the community, for the good of the church, for the good of the kingdom? How can we press others, promote love and good works? And that language that he uses, I want us to be really clear in understanding what he's meaning. He says, promote love and good works. I think we got to really understand that. Who defined real and true love? Jesus did, right? And so when we promote others or press others to love people, we're saying we want to help them think and act and talk and be like Jesus in the way that we love people. And when he says promote them towards good works, this isn't just like, hey, try to get people to do nice stuff, right? Who defined good? God did. So to promote people to good works is to push them towards godliness. And who gets the credit for godly actions? God does. So he says, get your eyes up. Look around at the community. Look around at others and see how might we press them on to be like Jesus. And let me ask you, does that describe you? Does that describe me? When I enter into one of these connect settings, these community settings, am I coming in saying, my goal today is to press you to be like Jesus? My greatest concern tonight is to see who can I help follow Jesus more closely. Let me ask you, when is the last time that you were just absolutely torn up and broken over somebody else's sin? And I'm not talking like when somebody sins against you? Because I think it could be really confusing in those times to see, are we upset because they broke God's expectations and there's brokenness with him? Or are we just mad because they offended us? So kick those situations out. Think about a time when your brother or your sister in Christ made a choice that caused a separation and a brokenness between them and God. Were you wrecked over that? Were you broken up over that? Were you torn up? Is your desire for your brothers and sisters in Christ to follow Jesus just as strong as your desire is for you? When somebody comes to you and confesses a real struggle in their life, how do you react? Do you try to quickly change the subject so it doesn't get really awkward? Do you joke about it? Or do you lean in and earnestly listen and pray for them and offer any help and any assistance in encouraging them as they strive towards Jesus? When we say we want to be a church full of people who connect, we don't want to be a church full of people who check the box that they go to connection group. Or because you can go to connection group week after week after week and never live out Hebrews 10. Just like you can show up on Sunday morning and never worship, and just like you can give a bunch of your money without submitting your finances to the will of God, we can do actions without any meaning. In fact, we as Americans, we're really good at that. But we want to be a people, and we want to be a place that we show up to connection group. We show up to church, and we're thinking, how can I serve and love others? How can I promote them to love and good works? How can I enter into real, true discipleship relationships? And listen, that doesn't just happen in a living room on a Wednesday night. That is a lifestyle. It is an attitude. It is an approach to this life. And that's what we want for all of us. But listen, we are the first ones to admit that is hard work. And it is not natural. Naturally, who do we think about? Me. I think about me. I'm lazy sometimes. I'm super protective of my time. I'll be honest, I'm generally far more interested in my life than I am in yours, right? I'm concerned with me and not we. And so this idea of thinking about the we before the me is incredibly hard work. It's incredibly difficult. And honestly, we have got to have a work of God in our hearts to make us even think this way. Want to act this way. But listen, as long as we approach our life as believers in the same way that we approach much of our life, which is me first, my family first, when we think that way, it's going to be hard to live out Hebrews 10 the way Hebrews 10 was written. We is always harder than me, isn't it? It's always harder than me. Let me ask you, who is the church made up of? It's we, right? The church is made up of we. And what is the mission of the church? To take the good news of the salvation of forgiveness and grace of God, to take that to the ends of the earth. And if we want to be a church that does that, it's going to take a lot of me's thinking about the we's so that we can go and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, so we can impact our city and our communities and far beyond that. But it's going to be hard work. It's going to be challenging. It's not going to be easy. But I hope, church, that we will want that and long for that and desire that, and that we will ask God to do that in and through us. So let's look. Let's look at what it looks like in our context. Like, really practically, when we say we want to be a people who lives in true community with real discipleship, how are we doing that here at Veritas? And first, again, we have to remember, this isn't something that you can just program and it will happen. It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. And so we want to be a people with that kind of attitude. But we've set up a structure to help as well with that connectedness. Because here's the deal. I stand up here and I look around this room. And I love our worship gatherings. I love coming and singing with you and being taught from the word. I just love this gathering. But as I look around this room, I realize the chances of actually living out Hebrews 10:24 on a Sunday morning, they're pretty slim. All right, what did that verse say? It's on the screen. Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Can you and do you do that from your seat on Sunday morning? Like, can you and do you do that in the foyer and in the cafe? Can we do this on a Sunday morning? Maybe. Kind of. But let's be honest, probably not. To be in a relationship where we actually know somebody at a level of depth that we can help them in their pursuit of God, that we can press them towards what it actually means to love others and to do the good works that God has set before them, that takes relationship, which takes time and effort and work. And that is hard to do on a Sunday morning. It takes real relationship. And so we say, as we look around this room and realize Hebrews 10:24 is going to be hard to do here, so we have to find a place to do it somewhere. And so we've said, hey, the way we're going to do that is by breaking you up into smaller groups that we call connection groups. And listen, this is the way that we at Veritas have chosen to pursue community. But listen, if you're a Christian, if you are somebody who calls yourself a follower of Jesus, you might disagree with the way we do it, but you can't escape the directive and the command and the expectation that you, as a follower of Jesus, you have to live this way. You need to live this way. We need you to live this way. And so if you look and say, I want Veritas to be home, we're saying for intentional discipleship relationships, connection groups where you need to be. And listen, we've kind of put all of our eggs in that basket. Right? And some of you are probably frustrated with us that we don't have more ministries and more events and more programs. But here's the decision we've made. Said, we do not want to throw a million things at you that might keep you really busy, but also give you an opportunity to be distracted from real intentional relationship. I never want this to be a place where somebody in 10 years looks back and says, I've been really busy for 10 years, but I haven't grown as a follower of Jesus. I haven't been promoted or promoted love and good works to others. I've done a lot of stuff, but I don't feel like I'm following Jesus. We want to fight against that with everything that we've had. And so we're saying, we're not going to give you a bunch of opportunities for distraction. We've said connection groups is where you need to be. That is where these intentional relationships have the opportunity for discipleship. And listen, it's an opportunity for discipleship because we can't guarantee it'll happen. Right? There's not just a switch that if you show up at connection group, you are automatically going to be discipled. You have to come in that with an attitude of others ahead of you, an attitude of seeing what can you bring for others to push them and press them and encourage them in their faith. But I believe, I really believe and trust that if you do that, you will grow and you will be discipled. You will be closer with Jesus than you were before. I can, with a high level of certainty, promise you that your connection group experience, it'll be 1,000 times better if you walk into that experience saying, how can I help? How can I push? How can I serve? How can I love? What can I do for everybody else? But here's the other thing I can guarantee you. If you walk into that connection group setting saying, who's going to serve me and who's going to help me? What can I get out of this? You will be disappointed every time. And you can be in that group for years and you might have some of those needs met, but you'll always have more and you'll always be dissatisfied. And that's why we want to be a people that thinks about the we and not the me. And so we want to get you in connection group. We're not ashamed about that. We're not ashamed that we want you in one of those groups. I say this a lot in Launch Point and in brunch, that if you're attending here for a year, even for another year, we're really okay that you feel uncomfortable that we're telling you, you really should be in a group. You might get tired of us telling you, you should be in a group, and it might annoy you and make you feel uncomfortable. We're really okay with that because guess what? You need to be in a group. You do. And we're not naive to say that every group is going to be fireworks every time. There will be nights where you will say, can one of my kids please get sick so I don't have to go to connection group tonight? There will be nights like that because it's hard work. And it takes effort. And it makes us uncomfortable. And it causes us to have to think about others instead of ourselves. But what I can promise you and what I can guarantee you, it will be worth it. You will grow. You will follow Jesus. You will do the good works that he has set before you if you go into it with the attitude of saying, I'm going to think of others and not myself. So we want you to be in a group. So and here's the thing. We want you to recognize that for you as a follower of Jesus, being in a group is a really good thing for you. Being in intentional discipleship relationships is a really good thing for you. But the point of this morning, it's not about who. It's not about me. It's about we. So here's the reality. I believe if you are a part of our church, if you would say you're one of us, Veritas is your home, and you're not in a connection group, I would say you are not getting all that you should get as a part of Veritas Church, but even more important than that, you are not giving all that you should give as a part of Veritas Church. Because 3C disciples, think about we, not me. We need you in community. We need you in connection groups. We need your brokenness. We need your failures. We need to see the unique one that God has created you to be. We need your perspective on Scripture. We need to see how God has changed you and transformed you as he's drawn you to himself. We as a church need you and community for us just as much as you need community for you. And I really believe that. And for some of you, you are in connection groups. But the type of community that we're talking about today, you're not going to your group like that. You're not headed there on a Wednesday night thinking about others and not yourself. And here's the challenge I want to put before you and for all of us that are in our group. Over half this church of our adults are in a connection group. And here's the challenge for all of us. I want us to go home this week and to send our leader an email or a text and to let him know. Say, hey, leader, I'm in or I'm out. Like for this type of community that we're talking about, real, authentic community that serves others and loves others and is paying attention to others' discipleship, I either want that or I don't. And my challenge to you, if you're in a group, go home today, tomorrow, this week, and let your leader know whether you're in for that kind of community or you're not. Because that's what we desire for every one of our communities to be. For those of us that are in a connection group, I would love for this to be a week where we stick a stake in the ground and say, no more half-hearted commitment. No more self-absorption, but instead we're going to go looking, how do we serve and love and care for others for the sake of our group, for the sake of our church, for the sake of the advancement of the kingdom? And for the other half of you, you aren't plugged into a group and you aren't experiencing community here at Veritas, and we want that for you. If you were to say, this is home for me, we are not content if home for you means Sunday morning for an hour. We don't think that's what's best for you. And we don't think that's what's best for us. And so we would challenge you, get connected. Go deeper. Get involved. We've created steps for you to do that. We think the steps are pretty easy. There's a thing we do every other month or so called New to Veritas Brunch, where we just tell you about the church, what we're doing, why we're doing it, what our history is. You can meet some of our leaders. It's a great chance to just ask questions about the ministry here. Our next one is actually next week during the 9 o'clock service. And so if you're interested in that, sign up on our website or on the New Here tab. Join us for that. We'd love for you to come to that. But if you go there, or if you've been there and you're to say, hey, Veritas is my home. I want to be involved. I want to be a 3C disciple that we're talking about. The next step you need to take is Launch Point. It's 4 Sunday mornings in a row, starting September 10th, where we really talk about what the 3 C's in practical life looks like for our people. And it's a place where we will help you get up to speed in those, to help you get ready to live those out here in our context. And I would encourage you, sign up, join us in that. That is your path towards a connection group. So if you leave here today saying, I'm not in community yet, I want community, I need community, jump into Launch Point. Join us as we try to help you become a 3C disciple here at Veritas. And listen, the only chance that you and I have to live this way, to act this way, to be people in real community, pursuing true discipleship, the only way that has a chance of happening is if it is an overflow of what we see and know and believe and understand about God. It's back to this passage, the beginning of Hebrews chapter 10. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary, since we have a great high priest, the only way we can live in community like this is if we understand the goodness of God and if we live as an overflow of his grace to us. We won't want to serve others until we understand how God served us. We won't want to love others until we understand his love for us. We won't sacrifice for others until we are firmly rooted in his sacrifice for us. And God's led the way in that. Jesus really set the example for the we over the me, didn't he? Remember when he is walking the earth with his disciples, healing people and sharing the good news. Wouldn't it have been easier for him to just do it on his own? Right? The disciples were continually making mistakes. Their stupidity would rise to the top often. Right? Jesus could have done it on his own, but he didn't. He chose the we over the me. And far bigger than that, and far greater than that, as Jesus was in heaven looking down at our sinful people, he could have chosen me, him, and just stayed there. But he didn't. He didn't. He chose the we over the me. And he came and he took on an earthly body. And he went to the cross and endured a horrific death. And far greater than the physical punishment was the separation that he experienced between him and his Father. But he chose the we over the me for the sake of his kingdom and its expansion in the salvation of the world, of those that would follow him and believe in him. Jesus led the way in picking the we over the me, and that's the call on us as believers. That's the call on us as followers of him, that we would choose the we over the me. And I hope and pray that we would do that. Imagine what that might look like in a place like this when somebody randomly walks in the door that's new here. You can always tell those that are new. They got the look of, I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do and this place is weird. And you see them walk in. What would it be like? Imagine what that might look like if all of us, not at once, but all of us, if we would see them, hey, this isn't somebody who just might take more of my time and energy that I don't want to give, but we would see them, somebody who could use encouragement today, someone who could be loved today, somebody who could be just challenged in their walk with God. What would it look like if we looked at the new person in that way and then start to group those people up into connection groups? What would it look like if we showed up a connection group and everybody walked in that door saying, who can I love? Who can I serve? Who can I encourage? Who can I challenge today? That'd be a fun place to be, wouldn't it? And we would grow rapidly in an environment like that. And then even bigger, the level of the church, what would it be like if we as a church would not only think about the me as a church, but we would look out at our community and beyond and think about the we as a city of Cedar Rapids and communities like Mount Vernon and Lisbon and Vinton and all the neighboring places. What would it look like if we as a church would think about the we and not the me and say, how can we bring the gospel to bear on the problems our community faces and the struggles that are real and tangible here? What would it look like if we did that? That would be a fun place to be a part of, wouldn't it? It'd be an exciting place to come if we as a church would think that way and act that way. But far more than being a great place to gather, this church, Veritas Church, if we are full of 3C disciples, this would be an incredibly effective means for God to use to take his gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's why we're here, isn't it? That's why we're here. So church, I hope and pray that each one of us would want to be a 3C disciple that thinks about the we and not the me. But listen, I'll be the first to admit, it's a battle and it's going to be hard. It's going to take work. But listen, we're in this together. And I believe this is what God wants for us. And so we need to help each other and encourage each other and press each other on towards this way of life. And we also need to beg that God would change our hearts and make us into that kind of people. And so that's our prayer today. Join me in praying that. Father, we are self-centered people that naturally think about us. And yet you've designed us and even come up with this plan of the church. And you need people that think about you and that think about others and are willing to sacrifice the me for the we. And so I pray, God, would you do that in our lives? And would we be a place filled with community, not just in connection groups, but all throughout everything we do as a church? Would we be a people that loves each other well and promotes each other to love and good works, to follow you more closely? God, that is the kind of place we want to be, and we need you to do that in us. And so we pray, God, would you do that very thing? We love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that it is because him and from him, because of you, God, that we can even have a chance of living that way. And so we pray, God, do that in us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.